I appreciate the turnout considering the weather, inclement weather, cold, raining. Gives me chizik, and it's obviously a kiddush Hashem, gives the Indian a chizik, that people are very interested in the topic. In this week's Haftarah, actually it depends on if you're Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Sard. In Nusach Ashkenaz, they started from the Maisa of Yaakov, in Nusach Sard, we started a little before in Hosea. But in this week's Haftarah, in Hosea, Perek Yud Beis, the Navi rebukes Klal Yisrael, trying to find it. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Kanan b'yodah moizni mirma la'ashayik ohev. Kanan is a seicher. His time is on Klal Yisrael that they used moizni mirma, devious methods, business tactics, la'ashayik ohev. To make money, that's how they're going to, that was their style of making money, was through devious tactics or no. The Mefarshim explained other types of mirma involved in business. That was the accusation. And Klal Yisrael counters back, no, Vayem Ephraim, Achashati, I was the one who made myself wealthy, Matsasi only, I found strength and koyach and talent to be prosperous. Koyagiyah, in all my terchen, all my actions, Elohim Tzuli Ovein Ashechet, you will not find in me an Ovein Ashechet, a sin that is a sin. We're going to have to, it's a problematic question, but he denies it. Klal Yisrael, Ephraim is now referring to Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael denies that they did anything wrong. Your accusation is baseless. You claim that we used Moisni Mimra. It's not true. We became wealthy. True, we became wealthy, but we had the right to become wealthy. It's because of our talents, our tircha, and we didn't use any devious methods. Kilot is a machlek between the Rebbeinu Shalom and Klal Yisrael, whether they did anything wrong. Stam, we have to understand what was the machlek, what's the chat. Second of all, that this lashon is a shalach. It says lo yimtu li oven hashachet. Kilu, there was an oven that Klal Yisrael did. Ephraim is acknowledging there was an oven, but it's not an oven hashachet. It's not an oven that's considered a chet. What does that mean? It was an oven, but it's not a chet. I mean, every oven is a chet. What is proud? What's this machlokes between Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shlomo? So I think an inkling into this machlokes, what really the kavana was, is later on. Again, when Klal Yisrael tries to fend for themselves, what they're doing, the pasuk says, "Vayivrach Yaakov stay aram." This is what Klal Yisrael is fending. "Vayivrach Yaakov stay aram." Yaakov ran away and he went to stay aram. "Vavet Yaavod Yisrael beishu veisha shama." And he worked for one isha and then he waited for another isha. He worked for Leah, and then he had to wait again and work again for Rachel. What does that mean? So the Malbim explains, what's pshat? The Malbim explains that Klal Yisrael's teretz was, you're tiny that we used Moizni Mirma, you're tiny that we didn't know, and these devious tactics, it's not our problem. Because Yaakov stay aram. Why did Yaakov run away to stay aram? What was the need for his bricha? Why did he have to run away? It's because he played a trick on Esav. He stole his bechira, he stole the bracha. So therefore he had to run away. But you see that Yaakov already used these tactics of Mirma, how to get Bechayra and the Bracha. And then what happened? He went to Lavan. Vayavid Yisrael B'Isha, he was working for one Isha, he thought he was working for Rachel, and all of a sudden, V'Isha Shama, he had to wait for another Isha, he had to wait for Rachel a second time. Why? Because Lavan played a trick on him. So you see, tricks are normal. In the business world, tricks are normal. And in fact, the lashon he uses, we already have this, it's altaminik, this is how you do business. This is the way we fear in business is, you do whatever you can get, you try to take advantage of the customer, you take advantage of his shortcomings, of his not being knowledgeable in the schayro, whatever it is, but this is normal. This is already shanaminik, an altaminik. So okay, that's Prat. It means Klal Yisrael's teretz was that they acknowledged that it was taka, they were using an oven, a mirma, a nos tvarim, genevis das. They were taka using an oven. But they said, l'yum tula oven asher chet. The oven that we're doing is not a chet because it's already a minik, it's kranoig mimei avaseinu. And the Kosh Baruch Hu didn't go for that teretz. Kosh Baruch Hu says, hiches Ephraim tamrurim. Ephraim is provoking HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tamrurim, with misa ways, with bitter ways. This is not a satisfactory Torah to say that other people are doing it, society is doing it, everyone else is doing it. Shein minig, it's normal already, everyone expects it. Shein, I have to do it because I have to keep up with everyone else. That's not a tshuva to the chait. That's not a tshuva to the oven. And that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's taina. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ashar Falan, he says, Im gilad oven, akshav hoyu. If you're going to find that Gilad is going to be punished, if you're going to find that Kaisel is going to be punished, don't think that they're being punished b'chinam. Don't think that it was stam b'li hashkacha, but they're going to be punished because shav hayu, because the tactics and the ways they feared in business was a ma'isa shav. They thought that they had a heta because there's a minute, but that's not a heta. You have to keep the Torah, you have to keep the halacha, you have to keep Chayish and Mishpat. Saying that it was already a minute and it was ready, this is the way we're supposed to do it, that's not going to help them. And some Mefarshim even say oven means tircha and yegia. When some people find that when they're doing something which is not 100%, they usually have to spend more time trying to cover up and do shtiklach, and if it's mezumah, so they have to cover up for that. And the whole life they're playing this whole game of cover-ups, and they end up being miyageya b'chinam, because the mice is, if it's asa, if it's shleil pi halacha, they're not supposed to be doing it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gufa, the oinish, it seems, would be this extra tirchanis and this yegia and this agmas nefesh involved in the whole halachelech of this cat and mouse game of chasing and hiding and covering up and lying and all that. And that's going to be gufa their chet and gufa their oinish. Interesting, in this week's parsha, we rather talked about the taina that Lavan had on Yaakov was that he was goinev esliboy. And according to the Targum Yoinason, they touches it up that it was goinev daitai. In fact, the Rishonim say that gnevis das means a form of goinev leiv. That's a lashon in Tanakh. And when it refers to gnevis das, it means goinev esliboy. I saw Sefer who touched up, where was the gnevis das by Yaakov Avinu? What did he do already? He ran away. The Zayin ran away, but where's the inin of gnevis das? So he wanted to touch up that if someone gets a taiva with a premise, with an understanding, and that understanding is not true, then that's gufa from a gnevis das. And I'll explain. If someone, the marshal, his marshal was, if someone will get a raise, or he'll get, whether it's an increase of salary, or he'll be raised to vice president, or whatever it is in his position, and the person is really, this poyel is really has in das to leave the company. And should the employer know his true intentions, he would definitely not give him a raise now if he's leaving in 2 months, or he definitely won't raise him to a higher position. Then he wants a taina that that's an inyan of gnevis das, and he bases it on this pasuk. The taina is that the gnevis das which was done here was that Lavan was apparently mativ to Yaakov to keep him, to be near his einoklach, his daughters, his einoklach, and to have Yaakov work for him and stay by him, and apparently he was mativ to him. And then if Yaakov's true intentions was to run away, that's what he ultimately did, then it was a form of gnevis das, and all the hatov and all the hanah and all that Lavan was mative to Yaakov all along, and that was a maisa gnevis das. If it's a Kabbalah and a Kabbalah, I don't understand 100%. First of all, I find it difficult to say that's shot. I mean, I wouldn't believe that Lavan was mative Yaakov to shtark. The Lashon HaPasuk doesn't sound like he was the nicest guy. And even in halach, I'm not convinced that that would be a din of mate of gnevis das. It could be it's a form of who hit his hatzman like the Ran, could be even like the Rosh. But as I talked, one save a pshat in the pasuk. Mm-hmm. If anyone has any other pshat, I'm gladly willing to hear it after shir. Another pshat. Where was the ma'isa gnevis das that Yaakov did? What did he do already? Just true, he ran away without telling Lavan. But is he meshubit to tell Lavan? I mean, maybe it was etiquette. You tell Yeshver. But where was the ma'isa gnevis das? The kilu of the Torah, you know, says, God, the Targum Unkelis, God, the Bavon, that he tries to say, he touches the pasuk slightly different, that there wasn't a Maisa Gnevis Das. But the way the Yonis and Benazil touches it up, it would seem that Yaakov did a Maisa Gnevis Das. I'm interested to know what that Gnevis Das is. All right. Someone, actually, I would like to say over, during the week told me a story, a very nice story, which was Nogeh to what we had discussed previously. A Maisa Shahaya was that someone, Reuben called up Shimon, I heard that you're going to New York, could I take a ride with you? And Shimon replied, he said, look, he's not sure 100% if he's going, he'll call him back in an hour to let him know. Fine. An hour later, Shimon already decided he's going to New York, but however, he already was taking another passenger that he wanted to discuss something privately with him. So he couldn't take Reuben along. So he calls up Reuben and he says, you had called me earlier for a ride, All of a sudden Reuven interjects, oh, it's not Nagei anymore because I already found someone else, but thanks anyway. Now at that point, was there an inyan of Gnevis Das? Because L'chayr, now Reuven is going to be made to Shimon for being nice enough to offer him a ride. In the meantime, Nishkadeg Nishkafloig, and Shimon had no intention of giving him the ride because he bedavka couldn't give him the ride because he had other cheshbon, that's why he had to take somebody else. Is that an inyan of Gnevis Das? And L'chayr, again, they should be telling the Machlokes Rosh and Ran. According to the Ran, the Gnevis Das means you have to do a Maisa Kibud, an exaggerated Maisa Kibud, a false Maisa Kibud, but your intention is to be Machavid. Here, where he had no intention to be Machavid, he was calling him back to notify him that he cannot take him, then there would not be a problem with Gnevis Das. However, according to the Rosh, who holds that there's an Issa of Gnevis Das, even if you have no intention of being Machavid, like the Mice of the Moroim, they were leaving town, they had no intention to escort the person into town, or the other Amari, nevertheless, the Gemara said it would be a Maisa Gnevis Das, if not for the fact that the other person shouldn't have jumped to that conclusion because he had no way to know that these Amoroim were aware of his coming, but of his arrival. But aside for that, even if you weren't doing a Maisa Kibud, if it came out Memela that your actions caused someone, an Issa Gnevis Das, caused someone to be Maitiv to you Bechinam, or would be Maitiv to you Bechinam, that would be a Maisa Gnevis Das, even if it's unintentional, that was the furthest from your mind, that would be Inyan of Gnevis Das. Some bring the right from this Rosh, it's called Gnevis Das B'Shoigeg B'Zalzayim, but it's still an Issa of Gnevis Das. And L'chayr, in this case too, it should be a Machlokes Rosh and Ran. And like we said, we don't really have a Achra between the Rishonim. I did see one sefer wants to be medayik in the Machaba in Sivov. At the end of Sivov, when the Machaba brings down that case of the escorting out of the city, the Machaba tain is the het of who hit his atmai was only because, and here seemingly he uses the Rosh's reason, it was because the iboy leila suke adaita sheino isa bishviloi. He should have known, he should have realized that they're not doing it for him, omad the atmai. Means, vaistois, he was at fault because he jumped to a conclusion. Whereas this Achron would like to say that Leiteran, that's not really the vote. The vote is that the guy didn't do a Maisa Pitoya, the guy didn't do a Maisa of Ganev Daita Bechalal, that wasn't his Kavona, then that's not a Maisa Ganevis Das, and that's why it's who hit his Asma. He jumped to the whole conclusion it's a Maisa Ganevis Das, but not because he was at 40, Boile La Asuke Adaita. We want to be Medak that the Machaba Paskins Lechumra, like the Rosh, that there would be an Issa of Gnevis Das, even if it's done unintentionally. And if in this case, he should have to tell the person, you know, he might have told him, look, like the Amoraim said, I would have loved to give you a ride, but I can't. I know that you don't need it anyway, but I just want to tell you that I had to take somebody else anyway, whatever it is.
In this case, he's taking him for the original Das. The original Das wasn't taken. Then
he died in question. Well, the original Das never materialized, because that original Das, he told him he'll come call him back in an hour, and something else came up that showed that he wasn't going to be mate of them.
Why do you assume he's thanking him for the second Das? The second Das wasn't relevant anymore. Once he found it right, it wasn't relevant.
He told me he's thanking him now for the fact that he entertained taking him before. So he should have thanked him on the first phone call. Now he's thanking him on the second phone call. Keeler is thanking he understood. Now he wouldn't have taken him, no. Because he had to take somebody else. And he would not. And he didn't want that person in the car. So forget, he Bedavka doesn't want this person in the car, Bedavka doesn't want to take this person.
He should get quiet. He has to find it's not the gay anymore. I have a different ride. It's, he has to interrupt him. I'm sorry, I wasn't going to tell the whole spiel again.
Not the whole spiel again. You should say that I would have loved to take you, but I couldn't take you anyway, and I'm very happy that you got a ride somewhere else. Right now, what is the person walking away? Just in the Metzias. Will he be walking away, the Reuven, the passenger, will be walking away with the understanding that Shimon offered him a ride and would take him? Is that what he's walking away?
The original conversation
was, I'll call you back in an hour. Now he called him back. Is he going to walk away assuming that the guy was kind enough to allow me? You have to know what type of atov it is.
He said, I'll call you back. You can go either way.
I'll call you.
I told him he's going. I'm not going to take him. He said, if you go.
Initially, he said, if I'll go, I'll call you back.
I didn't know if he's thanking him in mind.
Fine. So, okay, we're arguing Matisse. You're right. If the Matisse is the guy walks away not knowing anything, you're 100% right. If the Matisse is the guy will now assume that the person was nice enough to give him a ride or offer him a ride.
He didn't even know if he's going to say yes or take no. He didn't even know if he's going to answer yes or no.
And what would be the case? And what would be if they? I'll make a slight variation. What would be the case? Would be that if I am coming, I'll call you back in an hour. If I am going, I'll call you back. And he called him back just to be nice. That he's going anywhere, but you shouldn't be choishes him why he's not taking him, because he can't take him because he has someone else.
First of all, like, just to let you know, not also, just in case, you know, you're still counting on me.
Right, so let's say that's why he did it.
You don't
I don't know if he left off that he'll call me back if it's Nageya.
Why is that even a massive title to him? Because he would have taken him in, right? So he's saying, if Neil's saying is that he would have taken him in, right? If something else came up, he's not taking him in.
But so in this matter,
Zaka's taiva is for having him in mind to be able to take him. He would take him.
But right now, he's not willing to take him. We had a case of, like, let's say you have an annoyed Reikon, right? Now, I would have loved to give this Ovel Yain. I would have loved to give him food. I would have loved to be Seich Shemen. But if it was Reikon and I don't have what to deliver, I don't have what to offer him. I claim to offer him Shemen. I don't have it. That is a Nisig Neves Das, even if I would have given it to him had I had it. I right now don't have the right to give him.
Here's something else. Hey, what's up with this table? When a guy has another right, what's being mounted to the guy? He's being mounted to the guy for the guy calling him back, right? A. And the second was the guy said he would have taken him in. Now the guy has a Mania from a Sneda Studis. It's not going to be
able. But he wouldn't have. So now that Mania doesn't allow him to take him. I want to ask you, don't look at an extreme case. If I already know that you have a right somewhere else, so could I call you up and say, oh, I would love, please, you can come with me?
No, that's
I want to take the action. No, he tiny that, he just take.
No,
So if my phone call to call you up implies, if my phone call calls, but one second, but I would still love to take him. It's just as I think I'm in need that I can't take him, but I would still love to take him. That's Gnevis Das.
You don't want.
But if I call him up, it implies.
No call with no intention to do this. If he decides.
But according to the Rosh, even if I have no intention, it's still a Maisa Gnevis Das. If he understands from my Maisa that he was offered
something for him, but I didn't do anything. The only thing I'm doing is a phone call.
But he thought that my phone call was to tell him that he can come, and that's not my phone call.
But I didn't do anything for him.
I did not do anything. Like I said, the Russian Iran.
They were my Yitzhak here, right? He thought they're coming out of the city to.
And they weren't, and they had no intention to. And he thinks that, just like they walked out of the city, he called me up to tell me that he has a right for me. When in truth, he was not calling me up to tell me he has a right, he's calling me up to tell me that he has no right for me. And he doesn't want to take me. So it's exactly opposite than I think that he's coming. So you tell me, I'm asking right away. If you tell me the Matthias, and not like that, the guy doesn't come to that conclusion, I'm asking. So we're not arguing hello, we're just arguing Matthias. But if you go ask the guy, oh, you know, Shimon was a nice guy. He offered me a ride, he was willing to take me, very nice of him.
He didn't even let him get it far enough in the conversation to say he's taking what he's calling for, right?
Correct. Yeah. Right, okay, so you're right. If the Matthias is, we're not arguing a lot, we're arguing Matthias. Okay, let's go on. Let's not harp on this point. Fine. All right.
No,
all right, let's.
Case of empty night. He has no wine, and the guy says, "Don't worry, I have."
All right, let's go on. Let's go to Simirage Kav Ches Sif Yud Aleph. The Yain Hitiru. And by the way, I should mention that we're going to see tonight is basically on the Akdama that I mentioned in Hoshea, that where Klaiso tries to use an excuse that it was already a noig, it's a minig, as a fitman, and business is business. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a takatayin on Klai Yisrael, but we're going to see cases tonight that there are exceptions, that when there is a specific minig, that will get you around the Issa of Gnevis Das. B'yayin Atir, Zakta Machaber, Sif Yer Aleph, B'yayin Atir L'Arev Kosher Barach. By wine, it's permissible to mix kosher wine with rak wine, with hard wine with soft wine. And I'll explain what that means. Ben Agitis Bovad, during the fermentation process, while it's still by the company, because this mixing process actually improves the wine. You can blend different flavors of wine. It's even done today that they blend different flavors of wine. The kosher came after Ramah rak the kosher deshari. If it's permissible to mix kosher barak, then certainly it's permissible to mix rak the kosher. Now the Ramah, who holds of this kosher cane, holds that rach is actually better than kosher. It's better tasting, or it's smoother wine, it's lighter wine, it's better than the kosher wine. And yet is a chiddush in the machaber that I'm allowed to mix inferior wine, the kosher with the rach, because the kosher actually is mechazik the wine. A drop of kosher will actually improve the durability, it will last longer, it will be stronger, whatever it is, but it's not going to affect the flavor. We do it today in everything. We mix cotton and polyester to have some milers of each. So here too, we're going to mix the kosher berach, even though the ik is going to remain the rach, but we'll put in some kosher to improve the wine, to make it stronger. But really, the rach is better. So if kosher berach is permissible, kosher can rach be kosher. That's a shitas Ramah. The Mechaber doesn't say that. It's because the Mechaber holds, like the other Rishonim, that really kosher is better. The difference between kosher and rach is not in taste and not in texture, but the difference is in how much it could hold water. What they used to do was being mazik the wine with water. Kosher could contain more water, could be saturated with a greater degree of water, greater level of water, so it's a better wine. It's stronger, it's more tasty, so therefore it could hold more water. And if I'm going to mix it with rach, it's already somewhat diluted, because now instead of being able to put 3 parts water, I can only put 2 parts water. It's an inferior product. And therefore the Makabe says, you're allowed to mix kosher barak, because kosher is actually superior than rach. But rach be kosher would not be permissible like the Makabe, because it's inferior.
What are you selling it as?
Sorry?
What are you selling it as?
I'm not selling it as either. I'm just putting it in front of you. You're going to assume that it's going to be rach, because the majority is rach. Let me wait till the end of the sermon. We'll get a better understanding.
How do you see from the Makabe that you've seen it's a koshke, and that's why I don't say rach be kosher, because I mean it's not.
The Makabe Yoh points out, and others as well, that the Makabe argues. You can look at the smell. All right. Vim hayatamoy nikar, Makabe continues, however, if the taste is discernible, then it's mutalarev b'chol mokon. Then it's permissible to be ma'arev in any case, not just ben agitos, but any time. Now, there's an important reason why, that I should point out here, why the Makabe chapdon, why it's only permissible ben agitos. If to be ma'arev, kosher barach is better, if kosher is better than rach, I should be able to mix it even after the ben agitos. Later on, even in my store, after the fermentation process, I should be able to mix it, and that should be good. Why is it only permissible while it's still in the vat? So fermenting, I should be able to mix it later on. And that's a machlokes rishonim. It's important machlokes, even though we don't have the mitzvahs today, but just to get understanding what's going on. Rashi learns and others learn that this mixing process, that it should blend properly, only works ben agites. Afterwards, it's mixing two different flavors. What actually happens, even if it's better, each one is plaguing the other flavor. The two flavors don't coincide one with another. They don't complement one with another, but actually they're soisa one another. So since they're plaguing one another, would not be permissible. This milo of mixing is only a milo ben agitos. Others learn, the Miri learns, and others learn that no, that the reason why it's bedavka ben agitos is because when you mix it ben agitos, this eruv is long-lasting. It's a permanent eruv, it's a permanent improvement to the wine. Mashenkin, should you have mixed it later on, then in economy for temporarily, if a guy would taste it right then, he would say, it's taka better, it's stronger, it's sweeter, whatever the milas are. But later on, subsequently, 2 weeks later, it's going to spoil the wine, and this improvement won't last. So therefore, you're only allowed to do ben agitos because then itaka works. But if you're going to do it later on, the guy's going to come, he's going to see the wine, think it's good, he'll even maybe even taste it, and think it's taka, a great mix. And 2 weeks later, when he wants to use it for Shabbos, all of a sudden, he'll see that the wine is no good. So therefore, it's not you're now allowed to mix it only ben agitos where the mixing is permanent, where the improvement is permanent. Now, however, if you could taste it, if it is discernible, so let's say like this Meir, you're going to have to say that one could taste the difference and know that it was mixed and knows that that's what the improvement was, then it's mutar ma'ariv b'chol mokum, then it's permissible to be ma'ariv, even not just ben agitos mutar ma'ariv, all the time, it's not a problem. And it sounds like you could even be ma'ariv maybe in rach b'kosher, let's say like the Makabe, that rach b'kosher is normally not permissible, here it would be permissible because a person could taste it. And the Makabe gives you a klal. What's the heta? Shekol dov anika tamoy, anything that a lokeach could discern, could taste, magish lokeach, he taka feels it, he notices it, he won't be duped because he can taste it, and when he will taste it, he'll know that you really mixed it, and he won't be fooled to think it's really rach or think it's really kosher, and he won't have any problem.
So when you mix it, if it was mashbiach or if it was chasar.
Sorry?
Maybe you'll tell the taste, but you may not know when you mixed it, if it's a chasar or a milo.
Well, we're talking about where you can mix it and know, maybe even points it out, they can know that, right. Correct. When he mixes it, like the Mir, you're going to say that there's a difference. When he mixes it, yes, you're going to have to know that it won't be long-lasting, this improvement. Maybe it was after the time. He mixed it after the game, Ben Agitos, but he waited those 2 weeks till the improvement already faded somewhat, and he can now taste the difference.
They would taste the wine at the time when they
purchase it, right before they purchase it. Even today, sometimes you have that people will give you a taste, but that's more like to choose the flavor. But then they used to check to see if it was taka, a good barrel. If it wasn't spoiled, they used to taste it. Now, from the Mechabe's Loshen, especially makes a klal out of it, it seems that anything that the lokech could taste, not lav dafke, he will taste it, but as long as he could taste it, he has the ability to taste it, then it's not a problem anymore, because I relied on the fact that he will taste it. And if he doesn't taste it, it's his fault. The lokech is a dik in the Makabe. He no need that everybody taste it, as long as he could taste it, imhoya taima niko, as long as the taima niko, and now it could be tasted, that's already shayin muta. That seems from the Mechaba. Don't jump to this set, we're going to have to go back to it, because you're going to see the Mechaba three sifim later, and Sif Yadah is going to say Mefurish Raket. And everyone's going to ask the Stira. But at this point in time, what comes out of this Sif is that you're allowed to blend wines, and if you could apply to other things today, it would be permissible to blend if it tak improves. It's improved by the blending, rather now they let on the shirt, they'll tell you what percentage polyester, what percentage is cotton. They'll notify you, and like that could be taka heta, because if you're going to tell me, like just like then they had taimu nika in taste, you could have today, so to speak, taimu nika, that you have a label on it, and you could check the label to see what the material is made out of. And if he has that option, and everyone does check the label, or even from this makaba, if he could check the label, then it already should be permissible.
What about we discussed about potato chips, so they blow it up and make it bigger. If it says clearly how what the weight is.
Again, but that the problem was is the weight is written on the bag, but he doesn't know how the weight translates into volume. So the blowing up the bag gives a, he's misinformed. He thinks that it's a larger volume and he's looking towards volume. It doesn't say the volume, it says the weight. You're right, if it would say somewhere the weight, the volume is, you know, two cubic inches or whatever it is, you wouldn't have a problem, but that's not the case. Any questions, or can we go weiter? All right, let's move on. We're going to get back to it. Sakta Mechaba Sif Yud Beis. Ein ma'arvin mayim b'yayin. You cannot mix water with wine. Now we're diluting. Before we were blending different flavors of wine, which is prevalent today, and so too it's prevalent today that they mix water with wine. I spoke with Kedem, and they claim that about every single cheap wine today is actually diluted with water. And when it comes time to Pesach, I think we once mentioned this in the past, when it comes time to Pesach, if you're makbid to have full wine, you have to ask them which products, like Matuk, Rouge Soft, whatever, they have a few flavors which are almost 100%, some maybe even 100% wine. But generally, they do mix with water. You cannot mix water with wine. Anyone who does mix water with wine, he's not permitted to sell it in a chanos, unless he notifies every single customer. When he walks in, he should tell him, like, don't think this is 100% wine, it's really already diluted. And it's important for the customer to know. First of all, he'll have to know what ratio he can then further dilute it. And obviously he should be paying less because he's not, you know, like you go into a gasoline station, if they dilute the gasoline, obviously it's not going to be as effective. That's one reason. There's a Rashi in the beginning of the Ksubis who suggests, he doesn't say for this figure, but stand that when you mix wine with water, then all of a sudden it will start to speed up in terms of spoiling. You only, its lifespan is now, its shelf lifespan, whatever it is now, I don't know, 2 weeks, instead if you had you not mix it with water, it would have lasted for many months. So it's important for the customer to know this. Now, if you're the mechenveni, it says you're permitted to sell it, why? Provided you notify every single customer. However, if you're a wholesaler and you would like to sell it to a retailer, that mechabe says is also. You're not permitted to sell it to a tagger. Even if you do notify the retailer, by the way, this is mixed, because shema yirama bayacherim. It's nice that you told him, but who says he is, who has a guarantee that he's going to notify every single customer and he'll just pass it off to the next guy as if it's 100% wine and he's going to be fooling everybody. And your issa is lifnaiva, because you now gave him the wherewithal to now fool other people. And a deacon in the Mechaba and the Achronim say this, it's Mechaba seems to start off, Ein ma'arvin mayim b'yayin, stam, across the board, a klal, you're now allowed to mix wine with water with wine. If it was mixed, mission is out, then you can only sell if you notify every individual customer. Vice versa, but you're not allowed to even rely on the fact that you will be madi every customer. That's not enough. You're not allowed to mix this if you're creating a chayfet, you're creating something that could fool other people. Now it's obviously only talking about where you're a meicha. If you're doing it for personal use, home consumption, then we don't have this problem. It's never going to be sold. You won't be fooling anybody. Sorry? If you serve it to somebody and then you're going to have this problem, you'll and he's going to think, again, if the problem is it's not quality-wise and he thinks he's getting great wine, you're right, but if it's not and just give him wine, I don't think there should be a problem. So there is, once you're on this topic, there is someone who mentions, I don't know the mitzvah, if it's true today, but some sefer mentions that when you have like a Shalom Zocher, a Kiddush, what they used to do is, let's say a guy has a face, I don't know, Crown Regal blue, I don't know, black, whatever it is. What I'll do is, that's empty, but he has that bottle. So put in Crown Regal red, or, you know, something of inferior Crown Regal. I don't know the dagas, but it's blue, black, red, brown, I don't know. But whatever it is, and you do something inferior, and the guy thinks, oh, this is, you know, this is the $180 bottle, not the $60 bottle. This is the $60, not the $20. And that would be an issa of Gnevis Das, because you're faking the guy out. Similar to what we had early on. That's in terms of faking out what's in there.
Is it time and liquor?
Okay, let's hold off. We're going to get to it in Sifya Das. Important question. Let me just hold off. Let me just say it, and then we'll take questions. So basically, the Mechaber says it's a Nisa Klal, you're now let her do it. Now, the Shoshanim Ledovit does say that if, it's on Tosefta, that if you sell it at a lower price, that it's nikkud, it's domim medim, it's a concept we had last year, that it's domim medim, that it's clearly not 100% wine, or if I'll sell you this bottle of wine when it's supposed to be, I don't know, $180, and I say to you for $20 or something wild, you know that's clearly I'm not selling you that bottle, then, and he knows about it, then it's kilu, it's nikkud. It's nikkud, not from the taste, but it's nikkud from the price. Then clearly he knows what he's getting, and it's not a problem with Gnevis Das. Now to try to apply it today, where this could be negeh, it's very negeh, and that is you sometimes have clothing which are irregulars or slightly damaged package of paper plates, slightly damaged anything. And what you do is you pass it off. Now, if you're a retailer, that's very good. So then you're allowed to sell it to every customer and say, and notify every single customer, this is slightly damaged, and it's fine. However, if you're a wholesaler, you're going to have a major problem here. You're going to have to try to find a heta. How are you allowed to sell this to the retailer? There's no guarantee that the retailers are going to notify every single customer. And if you'll have the same issa here of supplying something to a retailer, where he could go ahead and fool somebody else. So the issa of lifnei iver. I forgot what it was, Lucent, AT&T, I forgot Panasonic. One of the major phone appliances, what they'll do is they'll give him refurbished models, things that were broke, which sent back to the company, and they fix it, but now they would like to have it repackaged. And he repackages them, he buys this whole refurbished shipment, and now he'll sell it off. And he has the same problem. Unless he'll stamp it on each product that it's refurbished, which it was not, he would have a problem because there's no guarantee to the person he's going to sell it will then notify every single customer. No guarantee is obviously a euphemism. He'll definitely not notify every customer, and there'll be a problem on lifnei iver. No, if it's stamped on it, then again, and it's noticeable that it's refurbished, so then you can have the principle. So again, that's what he was discussing. He could engrave it in a certain way in the plastic that is refurbished. He was discussing different options. But you should know, I'm not convinced. I believe, maybe not with 100% array, I believe that if you put it on a way that the retailer might not, I mean, let me backtrack. I can give you a Gemara. The Gemara says that if you can have a problem of selling something to a tagger, so the case was, and Rava was, that I Rava diluted his water. He diluted his wine, three parts water to one part wine. It was severely diluted. And now he sold it back to a tagger. So by Yitzma, you're allowed to do that. You're faking customers. So he says, no, my dilution is so much that no, he's not going to be able to fool anybody. So Eramaya Choshish, maybe the tagger will be smart and mixing a little wine now to make the dilution a little less, and now he'll be able to fool somebody. So he says, end of his life. I can't even sell him water then. I can't sell him wine because he always mix it and fool somebody. But I say from the Gemara, it's only a problem if you give him the product that he could go ahead and sell. If you give him something which is fine, just he has to change it to be able to cause somebody, to fool somebody, that's not a problem. So one could argue that so too here. If I put on a sticker and that would be noticeable to the customer, but the tagger will go ahead and rip off every sticker, so maybe you could say that's similar like the tagger doing his own dilution process. The item I sold him was perfectly fine.
If you have less than 2% ingredient, you don't have to put on the package.
Okay, yeah.
So a kosher manufacturer is not allowed to put that in? I mean, let's say he's selling pure vinegar. So he puts in less than 2% of water. He doesn't have to document.
He might not have to document it up here, Alaka, but L'chaira, unless... Okay, we're going to get one second. We'll get to different minhagim, but you should know, if the customer isn't aware, like wine, we know that all wines today, all cheap wines, like I said, are diluted with water, and it's just fine. You're buying the cream of lager, and it's, I don't know, 30% water in there, and that's... Most people know that. I don't know that I can't say. All the mumchim know that. Everyone, I don't know if that's enough. It's true. But the Rishonim discussed such a case. As Amiri discusses such a case. It could be that if will the mumchim know about it? And this is the shteg, and this is all the wines that everyone buys. Kihilu, how das can you buy? You have to be magda when you're allowed to say such a thing. But clearly, I don't believe that what they're doing is us. I think that you're interested in buying the taste of cream alaga. The taste is, you wouldn't even know what cream alaga tastes when it's 100% wine, because you never tasted it. Everything you're tasting is only 70% wine or 65%, depending on the year, by the way. They change from year to year, depending on how, you know, good that process of the wine that year.
Why is this Lifnei Bria so much? Allah sold somebody a knife and he's going to go kill? Why is this Lifnei Bria?
I'm not, you know, with, you know, gun control here. I don't know about that. But definitely here it is an item that it appears, it gives it a wrong appearance. We're not supplying it with weapons. We're giving him an item that appears to be wine when in truth it's not. So it's very easy for him to take that item and just pass it along. And unless you have a guarantee that he's going to notify every single person, which you don't, you're going to have a problem. And like I said, any of these irregulars, you're going to have a problem to sell, unless you stamp on every package that they're irregulars.
How am I going with him? I mean, I'm giving him a product and because he's a Rosh who wants to do it.
So Russia, well, the Smak gives him a Moira Hetra, and the Smak claims that he says that since the Tag himself didn't mix it, the Tag is Moira Hetra. Look, you know, what I don't see, I don't know. You know, it's not my fault. Someone else mixed it. I just sell what I bought. It's just fine. It's none of my business. This is what Kleenex does. They don't make the tissues all the way. This is what Wise does. It's not my fault. Blame it on Wise. I mean, we have this type of psychic today, too, right?
With your case of putting on the irregulars the Smak swore the Zichu being Mutter.
No, then Lechari should be Mutter. I'm trying to sign Chad today, because then he is actually doing the Hatar. You want to say he won't even have the Meir Hetta Shabbai? Okay, I'm not sure. Then it's a Shal if you're allowed to sell it to a guy. Lechari should have the same problem. If Naiva, the Miuchas Ritfah says a slightly different problem. But yes, Lechari should have this problem of selling these items. And here it doesn't say when it is. However, I should point out, you're going to see in Sifya Gimel. Okay, let's wait to Sifya Gimel when you're going to mix it. But in Sifya Beis, it just says across the board, you're not going to mix wine with water. The improvement that we had before Ben Agitas was wine with wine. There's no improvement to Val of wine with water. So therefore, there would not be a heta. Sorry? But a person thinks that he's getting a byproduct of grape, the juice of grape, which is called wine. In the meantime, he's not. Api halacha, grada has its serious shilas. If you dilute the level too much, it won't have a halacha of wine. In fact, in America, there's a law that if it's diluted more than 50%, they cannot call it wine. They call it a grape drink. But you cannot call it grape juice if it's not more than 50% of grape content.
Isn't the halacha if you
dilute
it before the fermentation, still
considered
wine?
I wouldn't bank on that.
It has to be wine.
Sorry?
It has to be wine.
But not if there was an. It has to be wine. Could be only if something came from a grape product. If you're going to mix it more than six parts wine, and granted today they say that wines are weak, you have other shilas. Okay, but you go through. That's not for tonight. The shilas of what Hilchos Brachos on wine is. But I'm not convinced. It's not partial at all. Look, you're going to have a problem with Neve, and that really runs into something else. And I'll tell you once you're raising the question. There's a Miuchas Ritzvah. The Miuchas Ritzvah says when he brings down halacha of selling to a guy, he says Koshekin Itzasi and Ella sell to a guy, and he says why? Says because when the guy sells it to the next person, to the Yisrael, then you're going to be the Goyin of Das of the Yisrael. So it's a little funny, like why did he have to jump to, and let's say if the guy would sell to another guy, I don't know why he needed the guy selling it to Yisrael, and why does he say it in a way that's not Lefnevi, he says a way it's a Gnei Vistaz. And he's medamit to this case, and in this case, which is the Mishnah, there he says, that's Lefnaiva. I know it's a problem in the Lashon. But really I think it should depend on, is there a Nisa B'chlal of Gnei Vistaz from a guy to a guy? We know we discussed that there's this of Gnei Vistaz from a Yid to a Goy in terms of Achzakas Taiva. We know that there's a Machlokes Yishayinim, which I discussed, a major Machlokes Yishayinim about Matah a Goy. Is there an Issa for a Goy to be Matah another Goy? That Lechari should be a Shaila. And there's a Chuvah Sam Seif, it's a very important Chuvah. Him and the Maram Sheik, his Talmud, Nemzon for a Dover Parchet, yes, there will be an Issa of Gnei Vistaz from a Goy to another Goy. It's part of the Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noyah. There's a Sefer Cheker Halacha. In Yonim, in Inyan of
on the Indian of Aleph over there, he brings down that he didn't have the Ksam Soifer or the Maram Sheikh, he clears it as a Shaila, and he's noiter that there is no Issa for a guy to be mad to another guy. There's an Arachayim HaKadosh in the beginning of Parshas Noach, I think it's Pasuk Vav, maybe you can look it up. He says something, I'm not 100% sure what he's saying, it sounds like from him, there's like a pshar, there is an Issa, but it's not Chayv Misa Allah, even though another Yisroel is Chayv Misa. But I should just mention over, it's just a powerful halach of the Ksam Soifer, its ramifications today are unbelievable. The story was that there was a tax in town, a sales tax on the customers, which we have today, a consumer sales tax. Sales tax is not on the seller, it's on the buyer. You know, I don't charge sales tax, I just collect it. So the buyer has to pay sales tax. Then there was a tariff on wine, on beer. Anyone sold or bought beer, actually anyone who bought beer, who lived in this shchuna, has to pay a certain percentage, I guess, claim it on the 1040 and give it to the sar of the ear. What happened was another tavern opened up, another year opened up a tavern outside the city limits, and he's not under the jurisdiction of this sar. And then they came to a din Torah about Asogas Gvul, because what he was doing is he was drawing the customers to him, because he didn't charge this tax, and he was able maybe to do it cheaper, and therefore he drew the customers from the town outside the city. And it was a major shayla about Asogas Gvul. This shayla apparently was so prevalent that this exact shayla must have been in 20 tshuvas during the 19th century. Tshuva after tshuva, remember the exact same shayla, every case. And it doesn't seem like it was the same exact shayla either, because Ksam Sofer lived in the earlier half, you have tshuvas from the later half of the 19th century. Apparently it was a prevalent shayla.
Urban enterprise, though.
Okay. Right. And so what happened was, you're right, and what happened was, is Ksam Sofer has a long tshuva, you say it's a good tshuva in Hukas HaSogas Gvul. At the end of the tshuva, you can look it up, Sofer Siman Kuf Ayin Hei, Ksam Sofer says the following. He says, Dal Miyachar, let's put HaSogas Gvul on aside, I have a new problem. The problem is the follows. He says, when you're going to sell to these consumers, these Arelim, they were Goyim, and you're going to sell them, when they go out of the city, they're not going to pay sales tax. And then we're going to pay sales tax on the wine to the Tsar. So end up, what they're going to do is they're being mafkia their chiev of mass to their Tsar. And you're going to be over lifnei iver. You're going to be over lifnei iver on selling to them that they won't pay the proper sales tax that they're mechuyev to pay. And therefore he says it's asa as lifnei iver on a goy of kosova to another goy. The chiv was on the consumer. Even if you buy out of town. By the way, today you have it as well. If you ship something in, let's say you buy something out of state and it's not taxed. The reason why it's not taxed is because they don't have the ability to tax you. The Yanala tax is against the constitution for one state to tax another state. And under that law goes also, they can't charge sales tax from a resident of a different state. However, you are mechuyev to disclose it on your 1040 according to the law at the end of the year of all the stuff that I purchased out of town, out of state, and I didn't pay the sales tax, I'm mechuyev to pay that sales tax. So therefore, if someone will sell something to a guy and he will not pay that sales tax, you will be over lifnei iver on his hafkas avo, and Ksam Sofer names down for a dava pashit that he is mitzvah on hafkas avo and amat and all that, because that's part of his zayin mitzvah b'nei merech. I guess kol zayin nichnas into din gzeila. We have a Ramban who discusses whether goes mitzvah or no. It's part of gzeila. The Ramban says dinim. It's part of dinim, depending how you want to touch it up. That's his pshat. You can look it up in the Ramban. Argues with the Ramban by Shechem. They were over kamid. Whatever it is, it's a shayla there too, by Ono. But that's what Ksam Sofer, Maram Sheikh, backs him up. Maram Sheikh, when he brings down such a shayla, says, my Rebbe of Ksam Sofer says it's halacha, and it's going to be over. God, if you look at the end of Ksam Sofer, the lashon is not 100%. If you look at Maram Sheikh, he quotes him over, he says it right. You can look also at Piskei Tshuva and Siman Kuf Ninvav. Piskei Tshuva quotes this Ksam Sofer as well. So if you want to know if the Ksam Sofer is la halacha, from the Maram Sheikh and Piskei Tshuva, it would seem, yes, that is halacha. And it's, if you want to apply it today, really it's not for tonight's shir, but you realize the severity. If you ever buy something off the books, paying cash, and the kavan is that you maybe gain on sales tax, they'll gain that they won't have to report, and they'll gain on income tax, you might be running into a serious shayla.
But it's only for the glory now, when it's only for the glory.
Sorry?
It's only for the glory, it's only for the
glory. I'd rather discuss about selling to you after shir. We'll discuss it some other time. Heta Dina de Malchusa, Heta of Dina de Malchusa, Dina What? What? What do you mean?
What's called Dina Mechuzet?
Tonight's not about Dina Mechuzet. I'm just talking about this. If they have a tax and the tax, they have a right to tax as part of Dina Mechuzet. And if they evade the tax evasion, there's an Issa. Sorry? Okay, so. Well, the Ksam Seif is talking about a Yid to a guy.
No, he's talking about a guy to stealing from another guy.
Correct, and the Yid is enabling him to do it because he's selling him one. If who's stealing from a guy? If you're stealing from a guy, I'm not discussing that. We had before that this matter on a Yid to steal from a guy. No, but I'm talking about if I'll buy something from a guy and therefore give him the wherewithal to now evade income tax or evade sales tax, he will have a problem because that's his chiv from him, a guy, to the government, which is a guy.
Buy from the Yid and he's not going to report it.
If you buy from a Yid and he's not going to report it, that's a different issue, which I'd rather not discuss right now. Yes.
Take the barrel, let's say, selling a barrel of wine, a generic thing, and let's say he sells to the tiger, can do it himself. Right? Now, see, let's say you sell a Panasonic phone, says Panasonic, so obviously he doesn't have the access to refurbished phones. They sell him a barrel of wine, doesn't say my name on it, doesn't say anything on it. And the guy, just as easily, can do it himself.
Mix it with water?
Yeah.
So that I bought from the Gemara that Robert said that it's fine because what I sold him was fine. If he's going to dilute it, it's his problem because otherwise, ain't the dove a slave. Like Rashi says, I'll never be able to sell him any wine. Like to me, because it's one other German, never even to sell him any water. He could always take something and dilute it. I can't give him even half the ingredients. And I can't supply Iraq with, you know, one ingredient because they can take that and make, you know.
One wholesaler to another wholesaler, the same problem?
The same problem, because he's now going to go ahead and pass it along, and it'll be Rama Bayacherim. You're going to have the same problem.
Nobody has a Pesach Kashrus or a Pesach Kager.
Business is business, right? Right, all right. Let
me say we put out a lot of Chayra, getting rid of when someone's busted lift. He sells the whole lot of it, but then
you
have a problem.
You have a problem. If that person's going to be able to dupe the next person, unless it's clearly stamped on each individual package, or some way that you have a guarantee he's not going to dupe the next person, you have to be choishish, at least entertain that he's going to dupe the next person. You're evil, if not even. All right, let's move.
Recyclable stuff.
Somebody
can think that he's doing the packaging. He's really covering that some of the materials that he's selling.
Give me a
motion,
right?
Here, he's selling refurbished
stuff. Right, so that's a problem.
Right from the package, we use recyclable stuff.
We use refurbished. Yeah.
Well, he's saying recyclable. I mean,
I don't know, recyclable on the phones? I don't know. Let's say he writes refurbished. If they write refurbished, that would be fine.
Refurbishing,
using
recycled,
somebody will think, to
be
over the well,
I don't know if you'd be over the
name
of Stassi,
in
the fact that somebody would think
that
he's using recyclable items
and
regards for packaging.
But
what does recyclable mean? Recyclable means that the package is made of this cotton, was made out of 100% recycled.
Recyclable
stuff is a change in form. They broke it down and change its form.
Right.
Sometimes if it's the same thing, the same item, they don't have to be changed at all. It was used.
Right. So you're saying that it would not be good enough to recycle.
Recyclable would include refurbished.
It would?
Yeah. I would think
that
it would.
I don't know the materials. For me, recycled sounds like it was just the box was made out of recycled materials. Usually when they get it back from a customer, it's called refurbished, and they have to tell you it's refurbished. It's by law, they have to tell you, disclose to you that it's refurbished. All right, let's go on to Sifya Gimel. We're running out of time here. Mokum shenogu la'arev ben agitus mayim. When there is a minig, someone made such a suggestion, if it would be a minig similar to like wine, that ben agitus, a blended wine, if there would be such a minig that they blend ben agitus mayim, which is like prevalent today, then it's mutar la'arev, it's permissible to be ma'arev kishir shadakum la'arev, whatever is the norm. If the norm is to mix one third, then do a third. If the norm is to mix a quarter, then do a quarter. If the norm is to mix a half, do a half. That's what the Gemara says. Seemingly it means that you cannot go over. I mean, if the minig is only to do a quarter water, I can't go ahead and now say, oh, there's a minig, and now let me do a half of water. That I can't do. And some Achrenim suggest, who I didn't forget, if the minig would be to ma'ariv half, one part water, one part wine, and I'll go ahead and only be ma'ariv a quarter, he wants to suggest that's also. Why? When the customer is going to see this and say, this is not mixed one part water, one part wine, it's mamish kevaldika wine here, he won't entertain even that it was mixed a quarter of water. He'll think it's too good for the half, and he won't know. The minute doesn't, no one does a quarter, everyone does a half, and therefore it would be us. So you only have, you'll be able to follow the minute, like I discussed before. There are times that when you have a minute, it's fine, because then you're not really duping the customer, because the customer should expect that that's what he's getting. But you have to stick with whatever the minute is. Now let's do Sif Yedalet. B'makum shenagu, which is what you raised before, b'makum shenagu shakomi shekoyne dava time ma'tchila. However, if the shtege is that every single person, before they buy something, they are toyim what they buy, then it's mutar la'arav b'ilayilam, then it's permissible to be ma'arav no matter what, forever, no matter how much the amount, what parts, no problem. If the benegitis, it's permissible. Avam ena kol toyimim, but if not everybody tastes it, it's not permissible. Now, well, 1 second, let me just say the halacha, and then we'll get to Yeshayla. Before in Sifri Gimel it says, Malkish Nogalar Ben Agitis Mayim Mitzmutin. It's only permissible Ben Agitis, why? Because that's when the minig is. The Rishonim point out, it should the minig be, the Yalar be married with even Acha Ben Agitis, then it will be permissible if the Ben Agitis. So Sifri Dalit basically covers you, because if the minig is that every single customer buys, before he buys it, he tastes it, then it's 100% permissible, because you're never going to fool the guy, because before he buys it, he will taste it. And should he be the one in a million that doesn't bother to taste it, then it's his fault, it's kilo, it's a mechila, because he should have tasted, because that is what is expected of the consumer. And if he doesn't bother, then it's his fault, it's like an inherent mechila. We have this concept by Mekach Tois as well. It will be a mimic that every single person, let's say before he buys a car, he takes it to an inspection, and it's something that's clear that the inspector, whatever, the mechanic will notice, not that it, you can hopefully win and hopefully fake the guy out, he won't pick it up. But if something that is clear that he won't notice it, and when the steering wheel is not circular anymore, it's triangle or whatever, and something that he obviously will notice it, then it's not a problem. That's because you can rely on the minute, you can rely that he should have brought it to a mechanic. Again, if that's the material, that every single person, before he buys a used car, brings it to a mechanic. So to hear, before a person buys wine, he definitely tastes it, it's going to be permissible, because you're not fooling him out. He himself is going to taste it, and should he not taste it, it's his tough luck. It's a mechila. Now, again, I mentioned before, in Sifri Aleph, the Mechaber seems, as long as the Mechaber time in Nikar, if it's discernible, it's already mutar, because he could taste it. And in Sifri Dalet, it sounds like it's only permissible because he will taste it, because it's a minig shenago shekomi shekoyne dava toime tchila. Everyone, that is the shtega, everyone tastes before they purchase, and only then is it permissible. L'chari to stira. And this is a $1 million question. All the achranim are bothered by the stira. Really, if you want to know where the stira is rooted, we go back a step. The Gemara says that Rabbi Acha was matir bedover hanit'am. Something which is nitam is permissible. And that's a makwek zishena. What does dava nitam mean? Rashi said dava nitam means something where the minig, which is noig, that everyone tastes. So dava nitam means something that everybody tastes, something that everyone the shteg is to taste, is permissible. The other rishonim, the Meiri and others learned that no, dava nitam means something which is tasteable. You could taste it. As long as you could discern the taste, then it's permissible. So really this is a makwek zishenim. And when it gets to the Rambam is Sifir Aleph, come out Mila B'Mila, and this Sifir Aleph is Mila B'Mila, the Torah. The Rambam seemingly went like the other sheet is, as long as he could taste it, the onus is mutal on him, he's supposed to taste it, and if he doesn't, it's a mechila. And the Torah goes like the other Rishayim, like Rashi, that it's only permissible if everybody tastes it, so then you could rely on the minute. If he doesn't bother, then it's his mechila. And the Mechaber somehow is Pesach Hashtes even. He calls the Rambam in Sifri Aleph, and he calls the Torah in Sifri Dalet. And this is very difficult. Now, halacha, if you have a, and our question go with this, if you have a clear Mefurish Mechaber in Sifri Dalet, it says that you need the minig, Shekol Mi Shekon Yadov Atom Et Chila Moto, but in Eina Kol Toim Im Loi, then somehow the Diyak of Sifri Aleph falls on the wayside, and you have to follow Sifri Dalet, that it's only permissible if Mamish every single person tastes it. I would like to suggest a Doichuk Yishuv to Machav, I mean, we have to say something, is that I mentioned before, what is the heter, in going back to Sifir Aleph, what is the heter why it's only permissible to be Ma'arev Ben Agitis? So I mentioned Rashi Oz Ben Agitis is because that's when they work well one another, they complement each other. When you have an Erev Ben Agitis, they ferment together and there's a good Erev. Majengi Nimiri learns, no, better you could be Ma'arev at that time, afterwards, it also has a good taste. The problem is that when you marry it, b'shas mice, b'shas tegitas, and this improvement lasts. the ma'ariv it later on, the improvement won't last. It'll only be short term, and when the customer is going to buy, he's going to think it's improved, and then when he gets home 2 weeks later, he's going to find himself with bad wine, and that's a problem. So I would like to suggest, that Avada will go with the Machaber like other Rishonim, that Avada is only permissible when there's a minik. And the Rambam Namimi knew that too, and the Machaber Sefer Aleph was also relying that there was a minik, Shekomi Shekoinah's time at Chilo. There was a minik. Now, what was the problem? The problem was, it's Mishwam, but like Rashi, that's what you have to say. Once there's a minik, then it's fine, because we knew that it's tasteable. We knew that the difference is tasteable, just the problem is who said people taste it. So that the Gemara says, Matha b'bava anitim, if people generally taste it, they go ahead and they bother to taste, and it's permissible. That's all Rashi needed. Meshachem like the Meir in the Rambam, if he learned, the Meir learned that in the Erev of Lacha ben Agitis was, it was taki improved. Just the Lekech won't be able to discern it because it's only a short-term improvement. So then, Bava Anit, the Meir has to go out of his way to say that's not enough people taste it. Big deal. You get every single person trying to taste before they buy. It's not going to help because he's going to taste an improved product and it's really not improved. It won't last. So Meir has to be Maisif, the Rambam has to be Maisif, that you should know that if you're talking about a case that the improvement is discernible, that even though it's improved, he can realize that it's only a short-term improvement. It starts to fade away, like we mentioned before, how he'd be able to taste it. But if it's discernible, so if it's a Bava Anit, it's something that could be discernible, then it's mutter, but Avada it's only mutter when everyone goes ahead and the minig is to taste before they buy. That was a double pasha. They didn't have to mention it. They were only bothered by the mitzias that, like the Meiri's understanding of the Gemara, the mitzias is that it should not be able to be tasted to be discernible because there is an improvement, albeit short term. So you have to read those. No, it's a double anitim. It's something that people could taste even though it's a short term improvement. And therefore, if you would be matchik like that, it would come out that all the Rishonim about them say that it's only permissible if I call tayamim. This guy, the Rishon, the Rav Maga brings down, that's Mefurish, Yeshemim, that he says, Mamish Faket, he says, like this would be Miri, that as long as people could taste it, then it's already permissible. But La Locha, the Machaber Pasim clearly, in Tefiadali, Pasim like the Torah, it would seem that you have to have it, that Mamish the Minig is to taste, and in absence of such a Minig, it would not be permissible. Any questions?
Then with
the Rabbi
Yis.
The Kishir Shadak Ma'arif, correct.
Not Ma'arif, you see the minute. So why isn't that a problem with Dalit? Even if he tastes, he doesn't know how to gauge it.
Well, that's he should be able to taste. He should be able to taste if it's one part water, one part wine, or is it two part water, one part wine? You know how diluted it really is. But your gimel is talking about when he's not tasting. So your gimel is only relying on what the shteg is. He doesn't taste it, but he knows. Everyone knows that cream alag is mitzvah water. Everyone knows that.
If he tastes it, he may think he's getting more than
that. No, not if he tastes it. If the guy relies on the minig is that everyone mixes one part water, one part wine, and he'll be.
If you dilute it less than normal, you're saying it's
awesome. If I said if you dilute it less than normal, it would be also why, is because a person doesn't taste it. We're talking about where you don't taste it. But he'll be able to discern it by the looks. He'll be able to see that this can't be mamish mixed 50% water because it's really thick. Or maybe the way it pours, he sees it's really thick. So he'll come to the conclusion that it wasn't mixed.
You have to depend on the
obviously, call Toyman, why do you bother Toyman?
Because
no, that's not enough. That would not be enough. You have to be.
Everybody can tell. I can tell you as a food worker.
Well, those items you talk would have a problem. But here we're talking about something which should call me, should call Nadava, Toyman Tchila, and therefore we're relying on his team, we're relying on the fact that he will be able to taste it by his.
If only 80% of people can tell the difference.
Then, McCoy, you can have a problem. With those 20%, you fool them. You can have a problem. Unless something's wrong with that. But in Minastam, if it's something that it's not, you know, it's only semi-noticeable, if it's a disclaimer, which is so fine print that you won't be able to see it, maybe some customers will pick up that it's really imitation or something like that. But in big letters, you just write pure, which pure means nothing today, and something like that, yeah, you will have a problem. Because you're taking, that's what I saw Sefer today says, that if it's in small print, which we discussed after the chat last week, if it's in small print, you're going to have a problem. It has to be, if you want to rely on the fact that it disclosed the information in the package, it has to be noticeable to the eye. By law, someone mentioned that by law it has to be 8 point, the letter size. Whatever it is, has to be discernible, has to be noticeable. If not, you cannot rely on the fact. Well, I made a tiny disclaimer on the package, that would not work. Any other questions? All right, good luck.
For other tapes by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.